Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, you can text the show, 713-572-4610. People enjoy Takeamania. That was fun. If you missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app, or you can listen to the Payne and Pendergast podcast, our Bad Take of the Week segment called Takeamania. We do it 9 o'clock on Fridays. So the NFL, Seth, put out their top 10, or NFL.com, not the NFL, their media arm, NFL.com, put out their top 10 games of the 2025 season. We don't know when these games are going to take place yet. We'll find out next Wednesday. Some of them will probably find out Monday and Tuesday. The NFL has already said they're going to intentionally start leaking some of these games on Monday on some of their various, with some of their various outlets. You know, one day NBC is going to be leaking a couple of them, Amazon, etc. The Texans make the list here with one of the games that they're going to be hosting this year at NRG Stadium, and I'm curious, I've got the list of their home games in front of me here. The one game for the Texans that cracks the list is number eight on the list. You know, the ones ahead of it are Kansas City and Buffalo and Philly and the Lions. A lot of the ones you would, a rematch of the Super Bowl, they all are ahead of the Texans. Eighth game that NFL.com says they're most looking forward to, the Texans hosting the Denver Broncos. That's the one game in the, on the Texans' schedule where you've got division games. They play road games against Kansas City this year. They actually host Buffalo this year. They play Baltimore this year. Now, maybe Baltimore might not be one you look forward to because last year it was 31-2 on Christmas Day. But the Denver Broncos, and that is an interesting matchup, though, the Denver Broncos, a playoff team with Bo Nix in year two.
Right.
Are you excited about that game?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Now, we've already had the Sean Payton versus D'Amico Ryans 2 years ago.
Yes.
Because Payton was the guy that acted like he was too good for Houston. No. Well, at least via his mouthpiece, Colin Cowherd.
Right.
That's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, there was a lot of scuttlebutt that the Broncos liked D'Amico Ryans, but D'Amico just flat out said, no, I want to go to Houston.
Yep.
So there's a little bit of drama there, and now both teams have done well and improved and made the playoffs. So this feels like the first real matchup. The first year that Peyton was in Denver, he was playing with an inherited quarterback that seemed like he may have hated, and
who threw three picks in that game.
Yeah, that's right.
Russell Wilson
that's right.
threw three picks in that game.
Yeah, so this year it feels like the first real D'Amico versus Sean Payton matchup.
I would agree
and
with
classically,
that.
I would think it would be one that where D'Amico doesn't care or think one bit about the fact that he's going against Sean Payton. Where I feel Sean Payton seems like the kind of guy that is like extra emotionally invested in trying to
prove
the Texans that they screwed up.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think both guys landed in a perfect spot. And I, you know, there was a big part of me that thought Payton going to Denver was just a cash grab. You know, they're paying him like $20 million a year. It's Walmart money. They're just paying
over
crazy.
10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's a crazy contract. Sean Payton's done
That's
a good 5 job.
5 years, sorry. 5 years, $18 million per year.
Okay, is it $18 million? Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
So Payton's done a good job there. I say that begrudgingly because I found him at that juncture where he was looking at jobs to be very unlikable, at least from a Houston perspective, you know?
Well, it was partly just because Colin Cowherd took a shot at the Texans' ownership in a way that just it made it look, you know, Cowherd did his classic thing where he just was crapping on the Texans when it was really easy to crap on the Texans and acting like they're an organization that just can't get it right and doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. But Peyton always kind of came across as a know-it-all when he was on TV, I thought, at times. Just to rub me the wrong way. he's done a good job in Denver. He's done a really good job. I mean, they were a 500 team his first year there with Russell Wilson, like bad Russell Wilson at quarterback. And then last year they made the playoffs with Bo Nix. And I know I felt like that felt like a reach, taking Bo Nix at 12, the sixth quarterback taken in that draft class. It felt to me like they were doing what you rightfully accuse NFL teams of doing in these last several years, which is drafting guys who should be going on day two, drafting them on day one because you're reaching for quarterbacks.
And I don't accuse them of it. I guess I wouldn't use that word just because I think that I understand the strategy of that you just have to. I like to look down on the quarterbacks themselves who get drafted in the first round, especially when it's like Kenny Pickett who acts like he's owed something because he's a. It's like, no, dude, you're getting drafted in the first round because teams are so desperate for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they take a swing on quarterback every chance you get until you find the one you need, and it looks like it might be that guy with Bo Nix.
It might be Denver. Denver and Buffalo might be the most interesting home games on the schedule. The division opponents, like none of them are good enough this year. I may end up eating my words on that one if the Texans have a down year and they don't win the division. I expect the Texans to win the division. So I'm not. You know, I'm normal excited for the division games. Like, it's always fun when they come in here because it's a division game. They play Denver and Las Vegas at home out of the AFC West. I guess Las Vegas is a more interesting team now than they were before the month of April, you know, when they traded for Geno Smith and they drafted Ashton Jeanty.
Well, San Francisco at home, I think there's just San Francisco lost its luster. I'm not sleeping on the 49ers.
I'm not sleeping on it either. And you got the D'Amico angle with that one, you know, D'Amico teacher against student kind of thing with Kyle Shanahan.
The away games, the Texans kind of, as it looks right now on paper, and we know that this changes every year, good teams end up being bad and vice versa, but the away games are where the Texans have right now some challenges because they face the Chiefs on the road. They face the Chargers on the road. They face the Rams on the road. They face the Ravens on the road.
Yeah.
And then the Seahawks. Look, the Seahawks were a winning team last year, but a 500 caliber team last year. But Seattle's just a hard place to play.
Yep.
So it's the real juicy stuff is on the road.
No layups there on the road. And the other three games on the road, you just named the five non-division games. We know that the division games, even when the teams are bad, are going to be challenges.
Yeah.
You know, they're division games. Like, so that's, you know, the Colts game last year in week one, you know, ended up being a game that came down to the very end. You know, Tennessee played them tough a couple years ago on the road when the Texans were on the road. So, boy, that is... I hadn't looked. I only had the home games written down just because of this whole Denver take here. The two LA teams, Seattle, Kansas City, and Baltimore.
Yeah. And based on Vegas win totals, the Texans have the eighth hardest schedule right now.
Oh, wow.
So, if the division stays as weak as it's been, you get a break from being in the division. But the non-divisional opponents this year, it stacks up pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
And that's, again... I just can't say it enough times. Who knows? The preseason strength of schedule always ends up looking a lot different by the end of the year.
The Tampa Bay game at home is kind of a sneaky one. You know, that's the 17th game, you know, if you will, that they're playing. That's kind of a sneaky one as well. Yes, it's a tricky schedule, man. I got to go through the quarterbacks at some point. But it's a tricky schedule, no doubt.
The fun thing though is how good the Texans were defensively at home last year.
Yes,
and if you think about the quarterbacks that they made look. I mean, Josh Allen had one of his worst career performances in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Goff threw five interceptions. Tua Tagovailoa turned the ball over how many times? Four times, five times in that game?
A fumble and three interceptions, yes.
Yeah.
Four times.
So like they made really good quarterbacks look really bad. The guys that they'll face at home this year, like most notably are, newly rich Brock Purdy, perhaps. They're going to face Josh Allen yet again.
Yep.
Baker. Let's see, who are the other intriguing ones?
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield, Bo Nix.
Yep. Yep, Bo Nix.
Geno Smith is intriguing to see exactly how he does in that new environment.
100%. Kyler Murray they're facing here.
And the last time they faced Kyler Murray at NRG Stadium, it was when Kyler Murray was coming off of his injury and didn't look He wasn't in shape yet. He wasn't in playing shape. Right. For a guy who relies on his legs a lot and also was learning a new offense and everything, it by the fourth quarter, he kind of petered out. So you'll get a different. Yeah, these are some good the names on the jerseys, the logos might not be as intriguing for the home opponents, but the quarterbacks, there's some intrigue there.
Quarterbacks are intriguing, and it's especially intriguing to follow up on your point, Seth, that they were so good against good quarterbacks at home last year. You know, like that's, can they replicate that? I mean, they were historically good at home against some good quarterbacks. Like Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions in a game that they won, the Lions, but still, 5 interceptions. Josh Allen's the MVP of the league. He had the worst game of his career in his MVP season against the Texans at NRG Stadium last year and was terrible in that game.
The only guy who was immune to it was Lamar Jackson, but luckily they face him on the road. The Ravens, man, the Ravens have been the litmus test for this team in the last couple of years. It's the Ravens are the team that all of a sudden, either in the playoffs 2 years ago or at the end of the season last year, made you think, okay, they're maybe not quite as far along as I thought they were.
They played them 3 times, and none of the since D'Amico got here, they played them 3 times, twice in the regular season and once in the postseason, and none of the games are close. None of the games are close.
In the regular season game in week 1 2 years ago was at least that was
close.
Everybody was new, and it was C.J. Stroud's first game ever and everything. And it wasn't that one. You didn't expect to win that game. That you were kind of happy that they put up a fight for as long as they did.
But
the last 2 times they faced the Ravens, it's been a wake-up call.
Ironically, the only other quarterback to have a good game at NRG Stadium last year from a road team, they won't have to worry about this year because he won't be the starter anymore, and that's Will Levis.
Remember,
Will Levis had a big game against them. I mean, he threw a pick 6 in that game.
He threw for
278 yards and a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, and he got sacked like 12 times.
He got sacked 8 times. He got sacked 8 times. He threw a pick 6 to Jimmy Ward. That was the one blemish.
But it was the number of sacks in the first half alone that was
7.
7 sacks in the first half, and it was one of those weird Texans games they had last year where they did a bunch of, like, picking off Jared Goff 5 times but still losing the game.
They had 3 games last year where the stats afterwards, I think the Green Bay game was the other one. No, it might have been the Jet, whatever. They had like the Lions game and the Titans game for sure, where the afterwards there's these tweets like, previously, teams that did were 342-0. They're now 342-1. Like, what are we?
Won the box score. That's what matters. Just ignore the points part of the box score. We really took it to them.
Oh my God! All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop today. What's the question of the day? We will ask them about that. Rookie minicamp gets started for the Texans in about an hour. What are we looking for? What are we looking to see with this rookie class? What will we have eyes on today out at NRG Stadium? And we'll hear from Nick Caserio on what he's expecting from the rookies, and that's coming up next.